Well, greetings once again, everybody, and special greetings to all of you ministers that are here for the refresher course from around the world. Fifty years ago, I was putting emphasis on certain things where I was actually at least 50 years ahead of my time. You know, actually, the first century apostles were more than 1,950 years ahead of their time. They thought the second coming of Christ was going to occur way back there in their lifetime. And of course it didn't. But 50 years ago, I could see that we were coming into the last generation of this world. So many things had been happening. I wonder if you people can understand. I don't think that very many of you can see things as I do. For example, I remember things that happened back in the 19th century. I remember very well staying up until midnight to see the old century out and the new century in. And 1899 was going out and the year 1900 was coming in. Of course, I was only 7 1/2 years old, and I couldn't understand why my parents kept me sitting up all that time in a Methodist church, and they wouldn't let me go to sleep, and I wanted to go to sleep so badly. Sometimes children can't understand some of the things their elders do. But today it becomes a very solemn warning. And now the time is very imminent. The new United States of Europe is on the verge of going together. Now it has gone together a number of times. Already, well, 5 times directly and a 6th time that the world hardly noticed. And we're waiting now for the 7th resurrection of the Roman Empire. And the whole world is going to be astounded, and I can tell you it could even happen next year. But along with it, I want to come specifically today into a certain subject I have not touched on, I think, for some years now. I think that perhaps most of you have never heard me speak about it. In fact, the booklet that we had on it has become out of print. And that subject is the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? We began to see that I was ahead of my time, actually, and I think we've said, and said publicly and in our advertising, that The Plain Truth is a magazine that has always been ahead of its time on foretelling news events and giving the meaning of today's news, today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us, where we are heading, what is going to happen next. And now we're right at the time where the so-called Holy Roman Empire is going to be revived again. Now, those of you who saw the Bible study last night saw a lot of the events that led up to the present time. And it goes clear back to ancient Israel. Actually, God had raised up a nation. Let me go back even farther than that. In the time of Adam, after Adam made the wrong decision, rejected the Spirit of God, turned his back on God, decided to take to himself the knowledge of right and wrong, good and evil. Now, the knowledge of good and evil has nothing to do with dealing with matter and material things. with science, with technology, with such subjects as chemistry, physics, astronomy. It has nothing to do with building a house, building an automobile, but it has a great deal to do with your relationship with other people, but most of all, your relationship to God. And that's what the world has completely lost. Because the knowledge of good and evil not only represents knowledge of spiritual knowledge, and spiritual things, attitudes, events, and what God has in store for those who love Him and not for others. But it is a matter of attitudes. And all troubles in the world come from the attitude that springs from the one human spirit with which every human being is born. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a mind. As I've said so many times, even a cow out in the field has a brain as good as yours. An elephant's brain is a great deal larger. I really don't know whether a cow's brain is a little larger or a little smaller. It's one or the other. But a cow seems to be rather stupid compared to a human being because there's no spirit in connection with its brain. And it doesn't have attitudes of competition and strife and of coveting and the type of attitudes that we humans get into in relation to one another. But humans have forgotten all about, it seems, their relationship with God. We have all kinds of relationships with other humans. And so husband and wife can't seem to get along together in so many cases. Parents and children, capital and labor, next door neighbors, group can't get along with group, race with race, nation with nation. We get into conflict, and it's all attitudes of mind. Now, God closed up the Holy Spirit. When He closed the tree of life, He closed the Holy Spirit. When Christ came, He said, I will build My church. He started it with 12 disciples. After He had taught them, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to them. And there were 120, actually, that had followed Christ that received the Holy Spirit that day. Later that day, after Peter's sermon, about 3,000 others were baptized. Then the Holy Spirit was opened, but only to those that God would draw. Jesus said, no man can come to Him except the Father that sent Him draws him. And on that day of Pentecost, Peter said, the Holy Spirit was for as many as the Lord our God should call. Go back and read it in the second chapter of the book of Acts. About the 39th verse. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And let's see, wasn't it in the, I guess it was in the sermonette this morning. It was mentioned that you didn't volunteer to become a follower of Christ or to become a Christian. You were drafted. You're not a volunteer. God chose you, and for each one of you, you were chosen out of perhaps a few thousand others that were not chosen. And so I've tried to tell you that there is a very, very great responsibility on you because you've been chosen for something very great. Now, way back to the time of Moses, many hundreds of years before Christ, God had decided to call the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He made them into a nation. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit. It was not open to them. God gave them promises, but the promises he gave them were all materialistic, nationalistic, for material wealth and national dominance over other nations even. But there was always a condition, and they never would fulfill the condition. After a long time, they even divided among themselves into two different nations. One was still called the Kingdom of Israel, but they rejected their king. And they went in for democracy. And they chose the man who had practically been King Solomon's prime minister, had practically run the government anyway for Solomon, Jeroboam. The tribe of Judah split off and formed its own nation called the Kingdom of Judah. And they are the Jews. And the Jews, from that time on, are not Israel. They're the nation of Judah, not the nation of Israel at all. And the world doesn't know that. So many of the people in the world don't know who they are. The people of the United States of Britain, of Western Europe, don't know who they are. The Germans don't know who they are. The Jews don't know who they are. They have lost their identity. And the things I was just remarking in the wings out here, just before the song service, that I really need 5 or 6 sermons for what I want to tell you today. It's so many different facets to it, so much that I can't get to more than just a part of it this afternoon. But God offered, finally, well, they split up into two nations. Let's go back to that. And first, after 7 dynasties and 19 different kings, Israel had followed their kings, and every one of those kings had rejected God and God's way of life. And they had all gone the way of sin, contrary to the law of God, which is God's way of life. And God's way of life is the way God and the way Christ have always lived from eternity, so far as we know. At least we know, as far as we know, they've always lived that way. And it's the way of peace. It's the way of cooperation. It's the way of love. It's the way of happiness, and it's the way of real great accomplishment and achievement and of a satisfying, fulfilling life. Humans don't know that. So God let Assyria take Israel captive. They began to move away, and by about 130 years later, they had lost their identity and moved westward and northwest. And I'm going to tell you a little later why Israel lost her identity. Now, Judah kept her identity, and I'm going to tell you why a little later. The Jews think they're Israel, and I'm going to tell you why. They're not Israel, they're Judah. And they don't really know who they are. So, I wish you all could have heard last night's Bible study, because it was a prelude to what I want to say today, and the Bible study of the week before. But I want to get back to this mark of the beast, because it's soon again now going to be enforced. And it has been enforced in the past, in ancient history, and you probably, most of you, don't even know that. Well, we will come to that. Anyway, then God used King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to take Judah captive, because they had turned away from God. Well, they never really turned to him. They professed to, back in the days of Moses, but they never had really had done it. Through Daniel, God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a knowledge of the true God, and that God had given him the right to rule. Now you're going to see that later on a continuation of that was given its seat and power and authority by Satan the devil. But it was God who gave Nebuchadnezzar his seat and power and authority. And God was showing, if you will read between the lines in the book of Daniel, especially in the second and the seventh chapters and others in between, God was giving King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon the chance to become God's kingdom and replace Israel. But the Gentiles rejected it. King Nebuchadnezzar was sent off for 7 years. He finally acknowledged God, and he came back, and God gave him the kingdom back, but his son rebelled and went the other way, and then the kingdom was taken.